You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. My name's Clint Clifton, and today we are going to talk about why I would never support your new church plant. Lots of church planters are out there trying to rustle up support. They're trying to gain momentum from churches and individuals who want to support them. But the truth is, lots of times we go and seek support, and we walk away empty-handed. So I wanted to talk to some veteraned and seasoned sending church pastors about why they might say no, even though they love church planting, they love the gospel, they love spreading the word in communities through church planting, why they might say no to a church planter that approaches them. So I brought to you today Jason Robertson and Danny Williams. Now, Jason is the lead pastor of Huntington Beach Baptist Church. He's got over 25 years of experience as a pastor and an evangelist and a church planter himself. He is a church revitalization consultant. He is the 2023 president of the Pastors Conference of the California Southern Baptist Convention. He teaches at various seminaries and universities, and he attended Liberty University and graduated from William Carey University, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and Gateway Seminary. Man, that's a lot of schools, Jason. And then Danny Williams. Danny Williams is my childhood pastor and the most influential ministry leader in my life by far. He serves as the lead pastor at First Baptist Church of Lyons, a small town in Georgia. And he and his wife, Gwen, have been married for nearly 50 years now. They have two children. They have six grandchildren. And before beginning his ministry as the pastor in First Baptist Lyons, Danny served as a world missions pastor, an associate director of church planting in the state of Florida. He's pastored churches in Texas and in Florida and in Georgia. And he has a huge heart for the kingdom. Danny and Gwen are delighted to be serving the Lord, and they've had a long and fruitful ministry facing the Great Commission, and they've been, like I said, been a big impact in my life. So I appreciate them so much. So welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being here. I appreciate having you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I want to talk about some of the red flags that you might have. So, Jason, let's start with you. What are some of the red flags that you might have when you talk to a church planter that could cause you to be tempted to steer away from supporting them?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, I want to say thank you, Clint, for inviting me to be on this podcast. And I just want to, first of all, say that when it comes to people approaching me to find support, plant a church, it's my natural disposition to say yes. I mean, I want to figure out a way to say yes. And there's usually a way to do that. But there are red flags. And for me, the one I'm looking for probably the quickest is their disposition towards team ministry. When we support someone, when we work with a church plant, we like to get them involved in our church collective that we're building here in California, and we have one that's going nationwide. We also have our association, our state convention. We have the Sin Network. I talk about all these different ways to collaborate and work together as teams, and pretty quickly you can tell if you're dealing with a team player or if you're dealing with someone who thinks they know it all, can do it all, and they're ready to do it on their own, and they just want your money. And for me, that's a red flag right away.
Wow. Yeah. Well, oftentimes church planters think all they need is money. And that's sort of the problem of youthfulness in church planting, is that we think we have all the tools and resources before we've actually tried to do the work. And we go out there and do it and think that if somebody just write me a big check, I'd take over everything and everything would be great. Brother Danny, what about you? As you think about the factors that cause you to decide to support or not support a church planter, what are some of those factors?
Well, one of the things that seems to always be a concern of mine, and I find it to be a problem in church planting, is guys not presently sharing the gospel much. I ask those direct questions. When's the last time you've talked to somebody one-on-one about Jesus that wasn't in your church or attending your church, somebody that you just ran into on the street? Tell me a story about that. If they don't have any of those that are anywhat current, it's like, huh, what do they expect church planting to be if it's not aggressively sharing the gospel? Because when you start a church, you don't have any people, and that's the way you get people, is you tell them about Jesus. So that's a red flag. Another red flag that I'm always just really sensitive toward is, what's the mate's view of this thing that they're thinking about doing? Because if there's a divided home to start with, it'll get more divided as they take off, because there are tremendous pressures in church planting. I mean, you know, you got money pressures, you got time pressures. I mean, it just goes on. And so I'm wanting to know, where are you and your mate? Because if you're not on the same page, you're going to have trouble. And I want to know if they're more concerned also about things like doing surveys and all that kind of stuff. I find that people can be great at that stuff, but terrible at building a church. So I'm looking for, I know after, you know, a long time of doing this, what the questions are now. I didn't even have a clue what the questions were when I first started that. And so these are some of the things that there are lots of them, but those are important.
Yeah. So I'm hearing evangelism, spousal support, the willingness to cooperate on a team, yeah. Cooperation are really key factors. Yeah. I wonder if you guys, either one of you, have interacted with a church planter that in your interaction with him, you just thought, this person shouldn't plant a church, and how you've handled a situation like that.
I certainly have. I'll never forget this one guy, and I don't know why. I was working with the convention at that time, and I'm meeting with this guy, and it seemed to me that he was enamored with what he was looking at as an experiment to try. If it didn't work, well, I'll just say it didn't work. You can't go into church planting with that, will it work? You got to have the heart that says, if God's leading me to do this, and I'm going to hang in there with God because I know he will make it work if I work with him.
That's great. Jason, what about you?
Yeah, there's been a couple of situations where, and it's funny, two opposite ends of the spectrum. Some guys that were just overly confident, really what you would call arrogant. And yeah. and you knew right away that they probably were going into this with expectations that were so off the chart that this thing was not only going to not work, it was going to crush them. It was going to be bad for them, probably bad for their marriage. And boy, when you see things like that, it's hard to talk them into slowing down and rethinking some things because of their personality. But arrogance and pride is just never a good thing to have going into church planting, because this thing's going to eat you alive. And on the other hand, I found some guys that were just way too afraid, too timid. Yeah. They didn't have courage. And listen, when you're planting a church, man, you're out in front, and you are driving a vision that that takes tons of courage, tons of faith. You got to have a stick-to-itness that is almost on the verge of that you're stubborn in certain ways, and you know what you want, and you're going to go for it, and you're going to keep failing every day, but you're going to keep getting back up because you know God's called you to do it. So you got to have this balance of being courageous and filled with faith and confidence, but it can't be arrogance. And so either one of those ends of the spectrum is not a good thing. And we've dealt with both of those.
Yeah. So describe the sweet spot in the middle. You did a good job describing the ditches on both sides of the road. Describe the sweet spot in the middle.
Well, you can usually tell when a person has a healthy dose of humility. And biblical humility, as we know, is something that allows you to remain confident, be filled with faith, vision, and this inner strength. But at the same time, you're the type of person that's listening rather than talking. You're praying with people. You have this learning attitude, a learning disposition, and things like that. So I'm looking for humility, and humility is probably the sweet spot right in the middle.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I would add to that for the average person, it doesn't take very long before in a conversation you will pick up enough things that you will discover either that person has a high view of God or he has a high view of himself. Mm. And the higher the view of God is, the more likely this guy is going to succeed because God is committed to helping those. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Mm. So that's something that's important. A man needs to know that God is sufficient, and he's not. But if he keeps that perspective right, he'll be okay.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things I see happening a lot when church planters put together their plan or their talking points, or sometimes they call it their pitch, that they're going to give to a sending church pastor, is that they make very specific and often very high monetary asks of those churches. How does it come across to you when a church planter comes to you? You're a pastor who's delicately managing, stewarding the resources that have been given to your congregation. You feel a responsibility to be a good steward of those funds. You want to be generous to missions. You are generous. You're going to allocate a large portion of your resources to missions. But you, in your shoes, you have the responsibility of being primarily a steward. How does it come across to you when a church planter who's kind of new at church planting and just getting started comes to you with a very specific or maybe unusually high monetary ask?
Go ahead, Jason.
Well, it's a great question because sometimes when guys come and they have these very large monetary asks, and you know, you follow up with that and you ask why, and they usually have this big elaborate plan and a budget and so forth. You kind of realize kind of quickly that this thing is so built in their mind. They've got every I dotted, every T crossed, and it draws a red flag because that's not how church planting really happens. And you know that this large ask of money, you see where their priorities are and things like that. And so when I get someone that approaches me that way, I usually try to just get off that topic and really get to talk to the person and get to know them, try to find out what's going on, see if I can maybe get involved and help them rethink their whole strategy and even what they're asking of churches. Because again, I'm always looking for a way to help. And I know what it's like to be a church planter and to have these big dreams in your mind. But I don't want to just turn them away or say no or get offended. But it is a red flag whenever they come with such a large number. So anyway, I think there's a better way to get there. And we could talk about that if you'd like in a moment.
Yeah, that might be helpful. Brother Danny, what do you think?
Well, and one of the things that I've learned along the way is if I'm supporting a church in rural Florida, if I'm considering supporting a church down there, and a guy comes to me with, you know, a huge budget, I'm thinking, good night, man. I don't make the kind of money you're talking about your salary's going to be. I've been in this thing for a long time. So I have to talk him off of that mountain and talk him down to the plain. You know, here's where this is where a real life is. And so I try to help him to be realistic without, you know, making him feel like an idiot. Because I care about him and I want him to succeed, but money won't make him succeed.
No, man.
Neither will it make him fail. So I just try to work with that. I'm by nature and by conviction, I'm an encourager. Yeah. So like Jason was mentioning, I try to encourage him to be realistic. But know that God can do exceeding abundantly more than you could ask, and so I don't tell them not to ask big, but I do tell them to be realistic about realities, and because it's so easy to get discouraged in church planting, and if the reality is not what the vision was, then you can say, well, God wasn't in it. Has nothing to do with whether God's in it or not. God may be in it, not letting you have everything you want so that he can be your deepest supplier and the heart and, you know, in every other way and show you in miraculous ways how he can come through when least expecting. So
that's powerful. So money won't cause you to succeed. Money won't cause you to fail. That's brilliant. And 100% true. So I'm thinking about the church planter who has these high expectations. And he's setting out and he's facing the reality that he's talking to pastors that are more aware of the realities of funding church life. And, you know, he's going to get a lot of rejections or a lot of no's, and many pastors aren't going to be as kind as you guys to be patient with them and kind of not annoyed by their large ask. They're going to just say, yeah, we're not able to support or we're not able to help. And they can walk away feeling discouraged. I often hear church planters express the sentiment that, yeah, churches just aren't kingdom hearted. They're not kingdom minded anymore. They don't care about the gospel. They don't care about church planting. And in my most candid days, I say to them, actually, it could be that they just don't believe in you, or they don't believe in your work, or maybe they are supporting a lot of other church plants and church planters, and they don't, you know. So, I mean, how would you help a church planter who's feeling that way? He's feeling like he's out on his own, he's isolated, people aren't willing to support him, to come back down to earth, so to speak. You guys have mentioned, both of you, you try to be patient, you try to talk them off the ledge, so to speak. How would you do that?
I would say to just be realistic with the guys, because if he goes to see, just say he visits with 10 pastors this week, and he's telling them his story, his journey, how God called him and got him involved in this, and he asks 10 pastors, he may not get but one of them that even tunes into him visually and acts like he really cares about him and the plant. The truth is, that's about what the percentage is where I work. I mean, in our association, we hardly have any churches. I would say maybe 5% of the churches that are giving anything to church planting, participating in any way with church planting. And out of that 5%, maybe 2% are passionate about it. And so, so you got to help them with that, because for whatever reason, I mean, we got churches that are trying to keep their ship floating.
Yeah.
And so when they're trying to keep their ship floating, they can't imagine taking what's holding their ship up and giving it away to somebody else. Right. Though that's the plan of God. If you expect to receive, you just best be giving. And you give because you've already received. You just may not have done the right thing with it.
Jason, how do you feel about that?
Yes. You know, I always think of there's basically three principles that I encourage these guys to keep in mind when they're giving the ask. And principle number one is you should, instead of just talk about numbers, talk about money, or even outline the mission and purpose of your church plant, because everybody's heard that kind of stuff before. And it doesn't really touch the heart, really, that you're in the way that you're trying to touch someone to get them to invest in what you're doing. And so it's better to have a story that you can tell of something that's going on in this ministry already that really captures the DNA of what you're trying to do. It captures the vision of what you're trying to do. Tell that story so the person can hear your passion, and all of a sudden they begin to see the vision and feel the vision. Number two, you need to make the ask in a way that it's a win-win for both parties. Don't just ask for money, but talk about it like an investment and say, maybe even pick one piece of your church plant plan of your launch and say, hey, here's something we need. And this is what it's going to do, and here's what it costs. Would you be interested in your church helping purchase that? Well, then when it is purchased or paid for, you're able to report that back to the church, and they can see a return on the investment. It's a win-win. It builds momentum. And then the third principle is that you can always go back and ask for more when you have results to show. And you're going to get more when you have results. When people see, oh, this is a tried and true situation. The person's successful already. I'm going to be a good steward of our money by investing in this ministry. Then you're going to have a much better chance of getting support. So always remember, you can go back and ask for more when you got results.
Right. That's great. Brother Danny, one of the ways in which you have affected me so deeply is you've taught me the importance of bold faith in church planting. You know, a lot of church planters want to secure their future through funding partnerships like we're talking about. But talk to the church planter who really doesn't feel like they can move forward unless they secure, you know, unless they can tell how they're going to support themselves for the into the future.
Well, much of my life I've lived this. It's not about having a bird in the hand before you take off. You know, you got to decide that if God is calling me to this, and He's going to lead me through this, then I can't sit here and wait on getting everything in the basket before I take the initiative. Right. Abraham would have never seen the ram in the bush if he hadn't have gone to the spot that he didn't know where it was till he got there.
Wow.
And so God led him to that. And at the knife drawn back moment, you know, he speaks to him. It says here, hold it, whoa, don't do it yet. And he turns around, there's a ram caught in the bushes. Well, you know, God is that detailed with blessing us. Mm-hmm. I can remember a time myself when God let all the money run out, all the food run out. I had nothing left except God. And I go to the mailbox that day, and there's a letter in there with no return address on it. I open up, and it's a check for $100 that got us through that week. Then the next week, I was called to be a pastor. And I'm in Texas, so, you know, there's pastors everywhere. And I have no seminary education, no Bible college education. And God just worked it out. And that they paid my entire Bible college tuition. So, you know, the average person doesn't know how to live like that because he never has lived like that. And so I say this sometimes. Sometimes a man like me or Jason or you listening to the story of somebody, and you can tell they got fear and they don't know what to do. You just have to believe for them until they can believe for themselves.
Wow. Yeah. Well, the two of you are dripping with wisdom about church planting, and thank you so much, not just for being on this conversation today, but for the bulk of your life in ministry being dedicated to serving and helping church planters when you really don't have to. You could just focus on your church and your ministry. May your tribe increase. I pray that many more pastors will take upon themselves the responsibility to serve church plants and church planters. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Sending Church Masterclass examines the wisdom of seasoned church planters and pastors as they equip you to lead from a Great Commission frame of mind. The Masterclass is completely free and it's offered exclusively at newchurches.com. The Sending Church Masterclass is packed with wisdom from seasoned church planters and pastors as they equip you to lead from a Great Commission frame of mind. The Masterclass is completely free. It's a course offered exclusively over at newchurches.com. Some of the best ministry leaders from across the denominational spectrum make up the course. With more than 30 short video sessions, the masterclass is a comprehensive overview of becoming a sending church. You can take the course yourself, or you can take a group of people from your church through the course. Regardless, it's all completely free, and you can find it at newchurches.com on the courses page.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.